wouldn't have thought about ammunition. But since you did,
since you
did, maybe you can beat a rocket for me. Since we're doing accolades, I'm thankful, especially for my husband and his health. And yesterday, like he said, was humbling, because some are in a bad way, really bad way. And I'm thankful to Karen. She's done nothing but support me, us, from the day I met her. She was a driving force at that retreat. You put her together with my sister Patsy, and there's something else. They cleaned the nail holes, the needle, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was perfect. And I am proud of Leslie and Liz, Bruce and Morgan. Make things grow. All of you are very precious to me. Well, I had something else in mind, and I may do that yet, but I was listening to Rogus this morning, and the reality that he was bringing on the CD. He said the story, the Christmas story, is such a beautiful, pristine story. He said, you know, there's donkeys and sheep and animal all over the stable, and they never mention the dung. You do know what animals do. He said they never mention the poop. And he said, so reality in this life is we're all born in a manger, so to speak. We're all born to be lights in the world, as Jesus was. He just happened to be the nexus in time that proved that we could do it. And so he wasn't born in a temple or a hospital, any of those things. She didn't even have a midwife, I guess. I didn't know this, but swaddling clothes were the very end of a boat of cloth, and they just saved the rags or pieces to wrap the babies in. And I just found that interesting, you know. Some of us have come from rags sort of to riches in our lives. When I grew up, we just didn't have a lot. But nobody had a lot. So I was never envious of anybody else in particular, because I didn't know you could be, I reckon. There just wasn't, you know, anybody much different from us at that time. So I thought it was interesting that he brought that down, so to speak, that things happen, negative things happen, and if they didn't, it wouldn't be real life. We have to have a contrast here, as Johnny yesterday could see how blessed he is, without any arrogance in it, because he was hurting for the other guy. And I listened, what I did was listen to the stories that they were telling me. And some had beautiful stories to say. Some of them already knew kind of their story. But I listened to two or three ladies, and Bruce, Geraldine Bryant was there, and she'd like very much to see you. Julie was crippled in high school, and she's much more crippled now. She's not doing good because she was born with arthritis, and of course it's progressed. But Geraldine said she would never forget the roughest guy in Oak Ridge High School, and her little sweet daughter deciding to go to the prom together. Bruce took Judy to the prom because he loved her as a person. And I have a picture of them together. He had a big heart. He was a star football player, so he could have took any girl he wanted. But he chose her, and Geraldine was very impressed. She said, "You tell Bruce I want to see him." Her husband has passed, and her brother, she had a twin, right, has Alzheimer's. He don't even know he's here. So, there's some sad stories. Well, I kind of want to look at the mothers. I shared this in the mountains, but it just kind of stayed with me, and I feel like we need to just kind of take a look at how things just coincide in life. The many things. Four is the number of the material world, and how many sets of four there are in so many things, and how that just fits together. It just blows my mind. I know that God's purpose in making humanity, and it would not surprise me if he doesn't have creatures on other spheres, planets, whatever, to fellowship. But he decided to make man. And he decided to make man because he wanted another. He wanted a partner. He wanted somebody to share his godness, his divinity with. And he wanted to create relationship, a fellowship with others, as well as knowing he was a many-parted being, that he had many parts to him. We know that he was Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He was both feminine and masculine. We also know, I've read to you out of the Pistosophia, that originally something had to fall. I hear they got a push, and maybe that's so, maybe you weren't quite ready to manifest this time, I don't know. And he just said, "Well, let me help you a little bit." I don't think he used his foot, but he might have just pushed your shoulder. It's time to come into a manifestation. So to me, that's awesome. So he could have fellowship with you by your choice. That's the beauty of it. He's not going to make you be anything. We just come here with the choices, and it's beautiful to make good choices, because the bad ones usually create a little hell for us all. But we learn. When we make a bad choice, we learn to change that. So the fact that he would give us choice when he really wanted a relationship with us, that we would know him consciously, not just subconsciously, or knowing of him afar off. When it lives with the breath in you, is God. And that's in everything that lives. There's some that know it, and some that don't. That's all. And some know it to a greater level than others. And he planned it so. He had a beautiful plan, the scripture says. Over in Corinthians, there's an order, though, for this. And I believe everything should be done decently and in an order. And God has an order for each person to find. And it's like Johnny said, sometimes that choosing costs you something. But if you make the right choice, the good choice, then it can also benefit you. We get to experience some heavenly things. I mean, you can have a nice home, a nice car. Yeah, you can most of all feel good about yourself. There's a lot of people out there in our earth today that don't feel good about themselves and don't know who they are. I mean, these guys chopping heads off and killing children and raping women, they don't know, they've never woke up. They're like dead men. Anyway, in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, Paul says in the first verse, "Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And it would be Christ Jesus there. But Christ is much bigger than that. Remembering, if you can remember when the Nicene Council was held, you could just read a little bit online, you would find out that the Roman Catholic leader, Constantine, instead of allowing the Christ to be that expanded corporate Christ that we now know him as, he confined it to the Roman Catholic faith. Hello. And then different orders came out of all of that religion. Martin Luther was shown true repentance and grace while he was doing penance on his knees, on steps, on cut glass. And he broke away from the Catholic Church. And God, that was God's plan. All of this breaking away from man's religious ideas is to expand us. We're here to make the heavens much bigger, because it's a huge, huge place, the things we haven't explored yet. Certainly not in this realm. Anyway, he said, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances that I've delivered to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christos, is Christ, the enchristed man that is your breath. It's a many, many membered. But I believe you have to be conscious of that to function in it and to put it in your feet, so to speak. And the head of every woman is the man." They would not let me put that on the billboard right now because the women would rise up. But this is what the scriptures taught. And the head of Christ is God. Remember, I won't do the stick people, but God wanted fellowship, so he created humankind. Lots of evolutionary things went on and time passed. And things transpired. And mankind was finally developed upon Earth. However that happened, I don't know. I don't remember being Neanderthal or Cro-Magnon, but maybe I was. I won't argue about it. But in our evolution, I don't think we all knew what we were, nor do we need to know right now. That's not important. What's important is this moment. This is all we're promised. Anyway, mankind developed, and he looked over mankind, and he said, "I'm going to choose a people. I'm going to take a people that are not a people, and I'm going to make them my people." So he selected Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. And he talks all about that. They'd spread all over the earth and all this. And if we could trace our lineages far back enough, we'd find out what tribe we were of. And that's why I think it's so important to understand the constellations, and that actually marry the earth person that we are, and we live and breathe and walk in it. And so he chose Israel. But Israel did exactly like fallen Sophia. He said, "You just went a whoring. You didn't stay with me. Everything I did for you, you bellyached, complained, and griped." Didn't they? They murmured, "We hate this manna. What do you mean? We're sick and tired of this manna. Don't feed us this manna anymore." They spoke against Moses. They spoke against leaders. They hated the authority. "Why'd you bring us out here to kill us in this place?" Well, so they went to begging their leader that they'd been telling off and cussing out. "Moses, what can you do?" So Moses sought for the people because he was the one that stood in the gap. He was a great man in his time because when God said, "Because they did this, this, and this, I'm going to blot them out." And Moses said, "Excuse me, Daddy, but if you're going to blot them out, blot me out too. I don't want to be part of it." And he couldn't do that because Moses had so much God in him, he would have been blotting himself out. Do you see the beauty of that? That's how parents feel about their children. "If you're going to blot my kid out, just blot me out too. I want my kids to come and my seed, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I want them all to be a part." So when Israel went a-whoring, for 3,000 years, they had been prophesying that a king would come. A man would be born. A child would be born. But he wasn't born with pomp and circumstance and all the beautiful things that the little kings are getting born over there in England. He didn't have any of those livelihoods where he was born. And he was just in a lowly stable, an everyday person. Don't you love that? He didn't have a silver spoon in his mouth. But the difference in him and all those others that had been born, he knew who he was. He got hold of that early. Because of his mother, God specifically chose the Virgin Mary, you know. Just like he's chosen the Virgin Johnny. Each one of you have a virginity within you, and he wanted to give you that seed. Because you not only are male, you're female. And it takes that for reproduction. So, along come Jesus, the man that took religion and just crushed it. Everything that was religious. He said, "When I go away, something beautiful is going to happen. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a comforter. It's called the Ghost. That's holy. That Holy Spirit." Now, all of us has got spirits, and they ain't all holy. If you don't believe it, the next time you show one, I'll tell you. And all mine not holy either. But I'm working on it. I'm working. Sometimes we don't know what holy is. We just kind of grope out here for it. So Jesus made it possible for mankind. He made an open display of the enemy, so to speak. Oh, death, where is your sting? And oh, grave, where is your victory? He did these things just to show us that we could, so we should esteem him. I esteem him most high because he did that first. He showed me I could do it. He's an attaboy. You know, whenever, never put you down. Attaboy, you can do it. Attaboy, you can do it. You'd be surprised what praise does for people. You'd just be surprised. Or just saying, hey, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. That helps so much. Insecure or secure, that helps. Okay. Verse 8 says here, I want to read that. So I'm skipping a little bit because it's just words. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Well, which woman is this? We are spirit, which is masculine, always. We are soul, which is feminine. 200,000 years ago, the scientists say the mitochondria showed up in the DNA. I don't know how they know that. But God called her Eve. Your soul is four-party. And you have it here on earth. It's wonderful. We come to reconcile this soul with spirit. We're made up of mentalities, emotions, determinations, and desire. All of us. We're all made up of that same stuff, except it's not to the same measure in each person. So we get different measures of those things for his purpose. Which is beautiful. Neither was the man created the woman for the woman, but the woman for the man. So, remember he said to Adam, Adam, come and name all these things that I've put in your world. Scripture says Adam, he's a brilliant man. He named everything that passed in front of him. I tell you, mankind gets dumber every day. They don't know what to call something passing in front of them in their own life. It's a mucket. Well, what is a mucket? It's a mixture. Call it a skunk or a dog or a cow, whatever it is in your life. And we sure forget to name the serpent, because we like our serpent. It's rough and tough, all that He-Man stuff. And the most, just with the most, it's got to be ego. But we need to recognize that dude, the personal one. In doing my study in this Pistos Sophia, Sophia's wisdom. And as we know, this Sophia chose to be a fallen wisdom because she didn't want a head. She refused to have a head. She said, I want to be celibate. I don't want anybody giving me seed. I don't want to be a part of anything except me. So the lesser Sophia is a part of the fall, the separation of divine substances. Originally, she was in the quadrinity. But she loses her place because of rebellion. Because she had an imperfect desire. You ever thought you really wanted something and you got it? And you wish to God you didn't have it. Right? I've sure been there and done that. I got all the t-shirts. I'll loan you one. An imperfect desire to seek a divine identity apart from the Godhead. We're hearing lots of that right now. If you read in certain circles, they'll tell you that you're all there is of God. Give me a break. I'm not all there is of God. I am a bit, and you are a bit. Each one is a portion of God, and thank God for it. He needed a many-membered being to manifest his expansive greatness that we even now cannot comprehend in our finite minds. So, the lesser Sophia thus conflates with a fallen Eve. What did Eve do? Remember? The scripture says she was deceived, but the man was not deceived. But nevertheless, there are consequences when you miss it in your life. Now, God can make the cleanup fast. I mean, I know that he can. You can go back and do the redemption. It happens. But it does take time. But this lady, she liked it where she was. She loved her hell. And if you know humanity, I know people that love their hell because they live in it all the time. They create them some every day. I'll just say this negative thing, and this negative thing, so they're looking at it all the time. Words are important. Compounding a negative image, Sophia brings forth evil by being solely generative without a partner. What she does is just for her personal pleasure. She doesn't care about anybody else. Just what can bless her at the moment. That's all she's concerned with. So this Sophia creates chaos. You could do a little study on chaos in a scientific study would blow your mind. It's very interesting. Humanity is unable to overcome its unpaired, help me Karen, Sergi. Barbara knows every one of these words. She put me to shame. I mean, she knows how to pronounce them. I was going, I'm glad you do. State, which is another word for chaos. In all of this, Jesus, as our Savior, takes center stage, producing divine will over the self-will, who produces the works of the flesh. And I taught on the bull, so I'd written me a note to teach them on the bull, because they hadn't heard the teaching on the bull and the changings that he does. From a fiery bull outside the camp where he's stripped of his flesh and all the dung, by the way, and taken into the camp after he's flayed. And we all go through that. Everybody's got some self-will. If you hadn't raised no kids lately, you forget about it. We was watching, Johnny and I were somewhere, a little girl didn't want to do something her daddy was saying. Well, she was stomping and a kicking and a shaking her head. I thought, she has an adult father standing there. I would take her in the bathroom and blister her. That's what he said. She had learned how to dance. I'd give her a new kind of dance. It's ridiculous. Why do you think you're the parent? Just let them run wild? Be a parent. The works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19, we all know what they are. I don't want to teach on them because it takes us to a place we've been plenty of times. Anger, selfishness, envy, sorcery, rebellion, witchcraft, and so on and so forth. So it mentions this dude. This is the womb man that incubates his or her ego. It's called, the name of it is Yalda Be'oth. It's what the Hebrew called it, I guess. I did a study of it online. That's why I know what it means. And it's cosmic arrogance. I thought, Lordy Jesus, it's bad enough to have earthly arrogance. What in the world is cosmic arrogance, you know? Assuming the arrogant pose of a solar deity, Yalda Be'oth believes himself to be the only God in the entire cosmos. Being blind, he cannot perceive the Pleroma, or the galactic core. He is infatuated, bloated, with his own grandiosity of self. So Yalda Be'oth originates nothing, and he's amazed by his own arrogance. I thought, my Lord, I know people like that, that are arrogant. So arrogant, can't hardly walk. They swagger and strut. And I'd rather see them get down and crawl like snakes. They'd be better off. But anyway, we're going to get beyond the fallen feminine, because she certainly was not divine. But there had to come a Pistos Sophia that was risen, and that would begin with Jesus Christ. Although his story goes back to the beginning of time, folks, you can see it unfold in every religion. Lots of things you read, you'll see this same story. So, I mean, you can do with it what you want to. I believe what I have a relationship with. Now me, I'm no myth. I've never thought I was a myth. I may be an illusion for 80 years or however long I live. I don't think you're a myth. I have a relationship with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So using the word myth is really, to me, a misuse of a word. So, let me get back to this. God says to Adam, because he's named everything. But Adam's not happy. God said, it's not good that you should be alone, Adam. Just spirit floating around somewhere. Just a spirit being with nothing but that high consciousness. He wants us to touch earth. He wants us to need. To be in need. To understand need. And how to get what you need. So, this is all the word. I looked up every word. And it means, the word alone means, it's not good to be disconnected from yourself inside. There's people that don't know they have a soul. I mean, they don't know that they have a soul that needs redeeming. Or that it can be. There's people that think that Jesus is going to split open the eastern sky. Oh, come on. He splits open my eastern sky every time he teaches me something new. So I get raptured a lot. Often. Anytime your thinking changes into something more elevated in your consciousness, that's him appearing in you, to you, for you. We've all had that experience over and over. And it's going to be had again because of who we are. It's Adam, it's not good for you to be solitary. And I always think about those men put in dungeons playing solitary for 24 hours a day alone. I cannot imagine. It means to be idle or unoccupied. I'm going to give you some work to do, Adam. I'm going to reach inside of you. I'm going to put you to sleep first. So some people are asleep still. They're asleep. Oh, they walk around and they talk. But they have no idea who they are. He said, I'm going to put you to sleep. And I'm going to reach inside of you and give you this most beautiful, shapely thing. She's going to be your counterpart. The little story says, in God, reached inside of Adam, took that rib. They used to sing it in daycare, and I've forgotten it now, I guess. Took a rib from Adam's side and gave it to him to be his bride. Relationship. God wants relationship with you. I think that's awesome. That a being that created everything by just flinging his fingers out there wants a relationship with me at this time in 2014. That to me is wonderful. How beautifully condescending can you be? And he doesn't make you feel like he condescended. Oh, but he did. And all of you did too when you said, yep, send me, I want to die on the cross of humanity of time and space. That's what you're doing. You're living on a cross. Time and space. Humanity's your cross. It's a beautiful thing. I'm knowing I chose it. Some of you think you don't. You'll wake up someday. Adam, I need to bring a release. It's not good for you to be solitary. I don't want you to cease in this state or to quit, to leave undone. I don't want to omit you. I want you to be about something, and that's why I'm sending you here. I don't want you left on your own with your own self-conceits. Also means, behold, there's more to say about this when you read that in the Hebrew. The Hebrew language is so much bigger than our English. Our English is very clipped and concise because it derived from the guttural Germanic, mostly. Some other languages, but a lot of that. Octune stuff, so. If you're German and you're proud, I'm sorry for you. I wouldn't be proud. My husband tried to take me to a German restaurant. I told him, I said, I'm not comfortable here and I don't like the food. I feel like when I walk in, they're going to say, Octune, salute. If I want to eat, I want to be relaxed, not commanded. Anyway. He thought that's funny. So, God wanted him to have a counterpart. What did I do?
Nothing.
No big deal. I'm just going to do this kind of quickly, let you draw your own comparisons, but there is. I wrote it too small. I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking when I was writing that y'all are going to be back there. And I was going to be up here. It needs to be done a lot bigger than that. So, God starts off in Israel with Jacob and calls him Israel. And who told her? Oh, Sarah. Was it Sarah that told Rebecca? Go to the father's house. Go into the father's house and choose a wife. It was Rebecca, because Rebecca was Jacob's mother. He was a twin, remember? Jacob and Esau were twins. Anyway, Rebecca says to him, don't take a wife of these Canaanites or any other nation, but go to the father's house and get your wife. So on the way to the father's house, Eliezer, who was the one sent, and that's you too, you're sent, he said, give me a sign of who's supposed to be Jacob's wife. So he runs into Rachel, and she's keeping the sheep. She's a shepherdess. Sounds like the Shulamite, don't it? A whole lot. Same story, different verse. Same story, just flip it around. And she's drawing water for the animals, and she tells him, you talk about generous, she says, I'll draw animals for your camels too. Well, when they're empty, they drink 6 gallons at a time. So I guess she was a drawer of water because she drew water. Anyway, you know the story. Jacob really wanted Rachel. But they had to veil their face when they were getting married. Leah was the oldest, and it was a Hebrew law that the younger daughter could not marry before the older daughter. So when Jacob wakes up in the morning, he's with Leah. Because he hadn't seen her face. I mean, he ain't worried about her face, no how. He's a man. He's just worried about a wife. And it's somewhere to put that seed, because he'd been celibate before. So he has Leah. And Bethel tells him, his uncle, his mother's brother, well, you've got to work 7 years for Rachel. You're going to have to go up seven layers, so to speak. In the spheres of the heavenlies, I don't remember them. They say there's seven spheres that we go through.
Seven heavens.
I can't prove that. I don't care because I'm not there now. But someday we will be. Anyway, so she's envious because she can't have her husband yet. She has to wait, and she does wait, and God makes her barren. The scripture said he made her barren. She could not produce anything, and that was the number one thing with the Jewish Hebrews, have sons. You'll notice they hardly ever mention the daughter's name. They'll say, and they had some daughters. You're going, well, hello. It was the man that was important, because he carried the seed with him. So, not only was she barren, but she had a concubine who was also played a wife to Jacob. The concubines were just lesser wives, so to speak. So he had four women to take care of that he could produce children by. Well, God opens her womb, and he doesn't fancy her because she's very negative. Prove it to you, the scripture says she was always weak-eyed. She could never see nothing down the road. I hate that weak-eyed thing. I want to be a visionary. I want to see something more, something greater, something bigger. She couldn't see her own beauty because they say she was breathtaking. As well as all these women were like princesses and queens, all of them. These concubines too. Rachel's name means she's ewe lamb, but sheep are good travelers. They'll stay together. It's all the difference in the world, herding goats and sheep. Goats do what they want to do. You have to whack them to get them to stay in the sheepfold. Anyway, her handmaiden means to be terrified and fearful. You ain't never seen that in yourself, right? Ooh, I've been terrified before. I've been afraid. I mean, you go to listening to the news this day and time, and you're going, what next? So I try not to go there, but she is her handmaiden, and she is helping take care of her. So when you got friends like that, you don't need no enemies. Fear and trembling and all those things, somebody around you that's always afraid of something. Okay. Well, Leah has a handmaiden, and her name means to trickle as myrrh, to be very fragrant. It's some of the same words that's used in the apothecary in Exodus. It makes things fragrant and smell good. And she had two sons, and they were both fire signs, Aries and Sagittarius, Asher and Gad. Okay, Leah had the first son. His name was Reuben, and it means to see the sun in yourself. Can you see the Son of God in yourself? Certain things coming out of you, and you know that was God. Give yourself a break. A pat on the back. Because she couldn't do this. Her second son's name was Tahir. Her third son's name had to do with your nose brain, your emotions, Levi, the priest, and bringing a balance. That's Libra out here in the middle of this camp, and that's a cardinal sign, and I'm thinking most of us in this room are cardinal signs. Capricorn's cardinal, Aries is cardinal, Cancer's cardinal, and Libra's cardinal. I guess Liz is the only one that's not a cardinal sign. A cardinal sign means you're the most, can be the most ascended. It just speaks an attitude. Okay, so that's probably enough about these four women, or we're going to get tired here. Then we get into the heavens. These need a counterpart. They are of the earth. Jesus Christ was born on the cusp of Aries. Do you see where the woman is? He put the divine feminine in the throne room because he was the divine feminine that walked the earth, that said, I see everything my Father does. I do everything he tells me to do. He put the woman the divine feminine in you in the throne room. Well, that was on the cusp before we got into the age of Pisces. Where is she? Okay. And that's where the church came in. That Nicene Council I told you about in 300 AD, somewhere along in there, that happened. And it produced a dualistic hearing. One of the fish just went along with whatever was going on. Didn't matter what, he just went along. But the other one was always going north to reach for more. And this religious system put the divine feminine in chains in every kind of way. Woman couldn't vote, couldn't wear pants, couldn't cut her hair, lots of things until when. When did she gain the right to vote? 1893, something like that. I mean, that's a recent history here. Before that, it was six paces behind me, baby. Walk back there. And be my get there and be my gopher. So, that system puts her in chains. I guess I should say their names because that's important. You notice the woman in the throne room was born in the Lamb. What did John say about Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, that taketh away sin. Hello. It was a done thing in the heavens way before it manifested in the earth. So, this woman is in the throne room. This one goes into chains because man got his hands on it. And we needed that. We needed to go through the religious system a little. We needed to get through the religious system, let me put it that way. Her name is Andromeda, by the way, in the stars. And hers is Cassiopeia. All right. Heavenly astrology always starts here, in the Virgin. That woman has to happen in the earth, right? This woman manifests the sun in this sign right here. It, the planet is Mercury. It's an earth sign on the eastern camp. It flanks Judah. It will make you put it in your earth. So, the Virgin, the Air Mother, so to speak, the Earth Mother, the Fire Mother, and this one in chains is the Water Mother. In the Hebrew language, and I'm trying to hurry now, you'll see the Aleph is the first Hebrew letter. They tell you there are three mother letters in the Hebrew scripture, Torah. Actually, there are four, and it was revealed to me. I haven't even heard anybody else teach it. I'm sure others know it or have taught it. But anyway, the Aleph is the air mother. The Mem is the water mother. The Shin is the fire mother, Shekinah. The missing letter over here has three prongs on the other side of this crown. It's the last letter, the unknown. It's in every alphabet. I know it's in runes, probably every alphabet has it. it's like our, the 12th house of the zodiac is the house of the unknown and self-undoing. That's in Pisces. Anyway, these three represent Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. On the other side of this crown, there were three prongs. But on this side, the missing letter, were four prongs. So there you have your Earth Mother, right there. They represented the four mothers of Israel, so it had to be, coupled with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to bring forth life.
10,000 means fullness of God, fullness of God's manifestation in the earth.
It does.
So
all this stuff means a lot. More than my mind can take in. And I can prove all this to you with my books, but I won't go up and get them and do that right now. So there you have the four, representing mother anyway. And of course there's a lot more to this kind of teaching. And that's all I'm going to share today. So if any of you have a comment, something, question, maybe. The reason I put the crosses is I really didn't know which cross each of the sons were on, and I needed to know that. Because there are four mutable crosses, four fixed crosses, and four cardinal crosses. There are three water signs, three fire signs, three air signs, and three earth signs in the zodiac. We're in the sign of Aquarius. I've heard people say it's water. It is not. It is an air sign. The next sign we go into will be an earth sign. So I'm just warning you, in case you're born over there in Capricorn, you will have to put it in your feet, and you will have to have it in your mind, because people will be reading your mind and you theirs. Every thought will be exposed according to the scripture in Capricorn. Why? He's the scapegoat. He will make you put it in your feet. You know Capricorns? There's two in this room. They'll say, come on, you let me show you where it's at. The high stuff, it has to get into here. So in that age of Capricorn, better have a clean mind. Because God's going to be doing a real work. They're going to know what you're thinking. People are going to know your bad thoughts about them. Sometimes you get angry with somebody, you know. You won't get by with that. I think I want to get done this trip. Clean up my mind. Make a place for your, a potty for your mind. Potty mind. Stinking thinking. Anyway, I think it's very interesting the way it's laid out. The crosses, however we know it, in reality, each day, the scripture says, take up your cross daily. And it's never the same cross. It can be mutable that day, or dualistic, and sometimes it's cardinal. That's the best way to go if you can get there. But there's a journey in all these things. The mutable cross, you just keep changing your mind. I don't know. I do know. I don't know. I do know. You ever met anybody like that? That's Reuben, unstable as water. Make up your mind if you're going to deal with me. Tell me. Just tell me. Somebody says, you're a very direct person. Is there any other way? Tell me. You could be kind with it, won't hurt you to tell me with the kindness. But tell me. However, with some people, you got to go around your elbow to get to your thumb. I'm going, you're going through all of that just to say one little thing. Well, I guess our Savior did that. God did that. He's going through a lot of time, jumped through a lot of hoops for us to get where we're at. I thank you for listening. I'm done. Thanks for being here, everybody.